I really can't say the trip around the world, even though it was a trip around the world, yet it was a trip over the world, because as a tree or as a vine that has many branches, we branched out numbers of times to different places, from the usual trend of going around the world and went to different places along the way. And we had a wonderful time. God took care of us. There was dangers, there was problems. And some countries are real strict. As a matter of fact, over in Singapore, before we disembarked, I picked up a little paper to fill it out. And it had in red letters stamped on the little paper that we had to fill out, death penalty if caught with dope. They had, you just have a certain amount of dope. It wasn't very much. And if you had it, it was a death penalty. They warned you before you got off of the plane. And of course, they just had hung two boys out of Australia. They caught two boys with it, and they hung them. So they kill you right on the spot. It isn't like church or church people walking around over there at night. It's so beautiful. But your wife can just get out and walk by herself around at night. You don't have to worry a whole lot about it. The city is the cleanest city I have ever seen in my life. Everything is clean. It's like a garden all the way through Singapore. It's just beautiful. And as the taxi driver told us, said there is no poor people in Singapore. And it was very obvious that there wasn't. People were well off and very nice people. But I think about our boys here. My, it would sure be bad if some of our fellas was over there. If some of our girls was over there, some of our boys was over there, they'd hang them. Because they wouldn't let them do what they're doing here. And strangely enough, because they're as thorough as they are, the Lord seems to be blessing them. I don't know what they're going to run into. I had a feeling when we was there, and I mentioned this to some of them that was with me, that something's fixing to happen in Singapore that's going to really upset the apple cart. I could feel it in the atmosphere when I was there. I could just pick it up from God. And I know something's about to happen. But at this point, the Lord has blessed them, and that they don't intend to have foolishness. They just don't put up with foolishness. There's no such thing as you living in Singapore and telling them you just can't help but take dope. Because if you got a bad case of that, they got a way to help it. And that is, they stop it altogether. And you'd be surprised how many folks can help it when it comes to that kind of a sentence. They can just quit overnight. Well, anyway, we had a good time there. We talked to a young boy that was in Bible school. Young fellow, he's about 20, I guess, in his early 20s. Talked to him about baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he was so convicted until he had me take him up on top of the building, numbers of stories up into the air. And the people that owned the hotel said, take the swimming pool and baptize him. So we baptized him. And it was a fellow from out of Australia that's a real renowned person. He's got a strong work there. I think he's drawing about 10,000. And he's renowned around the nation, the different parts of the world. He was up there. He watched us baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus. I feel like it done something to the man. But anyway, this particular fella, he was so happy over being baptized in Jesus' name. He said he had found a day star somewhere laying on the floor, on the ground somewhere. And it picked it up, and it had gotten a hold of him. And the next thing that he knew, somebody was putting a track in his hand that related to Little Bethlehem. And this, of course, got a hold of him. And when he found out that we was in town, and found out that we were there at the hotel. He come hurriedly to be with us. And it was rewarding to us and rewarding to him too. We had a little confrontation with some of Brother Branham's followers on this trip, different places. Numbers of things happened while we was at the terminal, the plane terminal, in India, I believe it was. Was it India? I went to so many terminals, I have to stop and think. India, I believe it was. My wife's questioning that. It was a Hong Kong terminal. It was a Hong Kong terminal. Okay, the Hong Kong terminal, we was able to talk with a young medical doctor that had a master's degree there. It was out of Peking, China, out of communist China, and he was there to catch the plane fixing to go down into Australia. He had about 9 years of study and was going to further some study. Already in practice as to heart operations. He was a heart specialist. We persuaded him in Jesus' name, and he was converted right there and gave his heart to God, and he's planning to keep in touch with us. He was almost, it was like talking to an alien in the sense of being heathenistic altogether. He didn't hardly know what she's talking about when you talked about the Lord Jesus. But he got a hold of some of our literature. And in talking with him, he finally become persuaded. And we prayed with him right there in the terminal, and he surrendered his heart to God. And Brother Mike was telling me that after we left, said he felt of his heart like that, was it, Mike? And he said, it feels real warm, Mike. So he received the Lord into his heart. Oh, we encountered some other things. It was a woman physician that came for counsel while we was in India. She didn't get to come to our meeting. She came to the apartment there, or the motel, and we counseled with her for quite a long while. And she was tore up pretty much because she couldn't come to the meeting. Her friend, who was also a physician, had just left town, and she had given her word that she would take her patients and watch after them while she was gone. But we was able to help her some. And then we run across a fellow on the plane that I can't remember his name. He was out of Japan, and he was an executive with the Diamond Leasing Company that leases the planes to the different ones like Delta and Singapore Air and whatever, the ones that they leased those planes, the great big jumbos, they leased them. And he got so carried away with some things, it was said to him that he said that he was going to see to it that we had a Japanese translation. So he must have felt something for it as to his people. And one of the, I don't know whether it might have been the president of the company, I don't know, just who. But he said, he's the one that's going to do that translation. Said, I know he'll do it for me as a favor. And he's supposed to call us, or we're supposed to call him. And that was of a great benefit to us. Numbers of things took place on this trip. We could go on all night long talking to you about the different things that took place in the different places on this trip. Because every place was a new challenge to our faith and our new and an exciting experience. And I found that everywhere in the world that I went, people want the gospel. The Bible says God has fashioned all men's hearts alike to seek after God. I went into communistic China, and I felt sure that those people would want the gospel. I thought, Lord, they're no different from anybody else. You can talk with Brother Lambert and see if it's true or if it's exaggerated. Brother Lambert and I, the devil tried his best working through the leadership and the different ones that we had to answer to in communist China, and that they watch you everywhere you go. Tried their best to do things to keep us preoccupied or to keep our minds from getting on our work. But I finally told Brother Jerry, I said, I'm going. And I walked out. And Jerry said, well, I'm going too. And out he walked. So we walked out and we got off by ourselves. And we had hundreds of tracks. I wish we'd had millions. But we had hundreds of tracks and we got around in the big city there. And got into a lane where it just looked like there's so many bicycles. I don't know how many people, a little road that's on the side of the road for the traffic. And in this fabulous city where we was at, here come all these bikes. Just, I guess there must have been hundreds and hundreds of them bikes. Looked like it's just a chain without an end. And young executive men and women dressed, real prominent dressed people, and look like people that would be very intelligent and efficient in their work. And Brother Jerry and I, we just got off to a little offshoot here. And when we started passing out those tracks, they must have been 10 to 15 hands at one time. Bicycles was pouring in there. So many bicycles, it was about to run into each other, and some of them did run into each other. And we gave out tracks until both of us was perspiring just as fast as we could go. Communist people took tracks. And they were thrilled over them as they began to read them. One man walked up to me on the street and said, do you believe God could save me? I said, I sure do. And so I've been praying last night or the night before. I'd been praying earnestly and sincerely during the night. And I said, God, for Christ's sake, open the door to communist China. There's nothing too hard for you. And Jerry can tell you he opened it. It looked like it was a double door and he opened both of them. And it was one of the greatest thrills of my life to see those people so hungry, so sincere. And they were not dogmatic in the sense of not being systematic. They systematically come for those tracts and reverenced and respected us and respected the ones that was coming after the tracts. But with that, they were so hungry that there was just, without making effort, running over one another, so to speak, to get them. And I praise God for it. And I believe that if I can get some literature into Russia, I believe it will be the same way. The Lord worked with us to get that literature in without any problem whatsoever. And I'm not even sure they ever checked a bag that we had it in. We had to change them out from a plane to a bus to a train to, I don't know, so many different things until the way God worked it, they never get a chance to do much of nothing or anything. So we had a good time in giving out the gospel. Jerry, he just got so enthused, he didn't want to quit. He was looking for more literature. And the reason I'm making mention of these things is because they relate to the things that I have in my mind tonight that I would like to make mention of as to world evangelism. See, that's what it's all about, is to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And Paul said, I'm ready to do this as much as lieth within me. Some people go to different places and they really don't make much effort for God. They go and they come back and they don't make a whole lot of effort. But I'm interested in making an effort. I know that what I do during my lifetime here in this world is what I'm going to receive reward for. The Bible said every man shall be rewarded according to his works. According to his labor, God will reward him. The Bible said he that winneth souls is wise. And if you win souls, then you're going to be rewarded for it. And the Bible said he that turneth many to righteousness shall shine as the brightness of the noonday in the day of the coming of the Lord. So I don't know exactly what you're doing on the home front. While we were there in Los Angeles, Brother Jerry and Sister Nancy had gone to get a little bite to eat, and Betty and I were sitting there. And I went into Jerry's case. He had given me permission to go into his case there. He had some tracks. I went in there, and I got some tracks out. And I just took the liberty right there in the terminal to pass out some tracks to those people in L.A., different people. See, you're meeting people from all over the world, everywhere. We was out in Los Angeles, and I was talking to a tall, slender black boy, real nice, courteous fellow by the name of Carl. And We got to talking about the Lord, and I just finished talking to a Spanish boy there that I really got next to him. He was out of Mexico, and he was working there and living there at that time in L.A. But anyway, I was talking to the black boy, and the black boy, when he heard Little Bethlehem, he said, "I've heard of that place." And we gave him a track, told him if he was ever down this way to come and visit with us. Everywhere you go, you can find people that are hungry for the gospel in numbers of times, people that know about Little Bethlehem and your efforts. And I'm always reminded of the scripture where Paul said that your faith is spoken of throughout the world. And more it's abounding as to the glory of God and as to the praise of Little Bethlehem. And that more people are learning about you everywhere. We've got a crusade that's coming up in the Philippines. I believe it's the 1st of April. We've already went to the people that are in charge in the Philippines. They're in Manila. We've already went to them. And we've already got the place to hold the crusade. It is a place right in the middle of town, right in the midst of the big buildings. And it is a park of about 14 acres with trees and bushes and whatever. And then a paved road running along the sides of it there that separates the park from the buildings. And then back at this end, it's a wide Broadway that's paved in there. And then there is a stadium that is just a part stadium that is built just across the Broadway, a long, nice, broad stadium. As a matter of fact, they got some pictures of it. And we are planning to have the meeting as to have on this end there at the stadium part to have our operation and then let the people gather in open air there. I asked the man for the park for 10 days, and he just kind of looked at me with a holler expression. He said, "I've never let anyone have that park for 10 days. That's the place for their political speeches, and they use it as with a regularity." And he just told me he just didn't see no way. He said, "Now, can't I let you have another park?" And they've got some nice stadiums there. As a matter of fact, we ministered to those people. They said there's about 6,000 to 7,000 people there at a stadium way across town from this particular place. But there was another stadium. He said, "Can I just let you have that?" I said, "Well, you could." I said, "But that isn't what I want." And he said, "Well, I just don't know what I can do about the other." This is, of course, in among their governmental ranks and one of their executives there. I had to go through a chain of command to get to him. But he got so carried away, he said he was planning to be at our crusade. He gave us the written permission. He said, "You'll just have to wait and let me check." So he checked it out, and when we returned, he gave us the paper. We have it with us, and it's officially signed by him saying that you do have this area on the dates that you desire to have it. And said, "We just ask that within 3 months of the Crusades that you work with us and contact us and let us know how everything is going as to coming in." And said, he talked as though he probably would furnish us the PA system like he does the political rallies. He said, "We just have purchased, or we just have received, ever how that they received it, some brand new equipment, maybe out of Japan or wherever. I don't remember just where. Some of the best comes out of Japan. But it's supposed to be some real outstanding equipment." And talk like that he would just go ahead and set it up for us. And they're supposed to charge us for it and charge us for the grounds. Whereas to this point, he hasn't charged us anything for the grounds. And talk like he'd set up the PA system and not charge us anything there. And said, of course, he'd have to send police protection, and talk like they wouldn't charge us anything for that. Now, I might be talking out of school. He might charge us for all of it, but it sounded real good. The way he talked, he was real jubilant. All right, so then these are some of the things we're planning. We've got something going over in Kenya, Africa. They wanted us to have a meeting in Kenya, and there was opportunity to have a meeting in Nigeria, and they really pleaded with us to have a meeting in Ghana. So in Kenya, we're setting up a meeting. It's over in a poor section line. Really not poor, but there's poor people over in that section. And it's on a grassy hill where they also have their political rally. But it's not fancy. It's just a plain green hill out from the city. And I believe that God is going to give us a real meeting in Kenya. The other place is a fabulous place, and it's right in the midst of the city. As a matter of fact, they've got a big ball there, a big whirl out in the middle of the park, that an skating area. This big ball is so beautiful. It's a whirl ball, and water just coming out all over, and it's real beautiful. And then we've got something going over in India. They're wanting us to come there and have a rally, and they're trying to get something together for a crusade there in India. Other places, they're working with us. But I want to mention some things and bring out a few specifics. You bear with me, I'm a little tired, but I want to do this anyway. If you're tired, I understand. All right, getting down to some pinpointing, as we say. First, I'd like to say again, I appreciate the ones that rallied such a quick, short notice. And I appreciate you coming out to be with us. Notice Stan's brothers is back there. I appreciate them coming out. Others that came down, I appreciate it. I really appreciate it from my heart. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions. You don't have to answer them if you don't want to. If I call on you as to anything, you don't have to respond if you don't want to. I won't feel bad at you. I'm not going to try to put you on the spot. I wish some of our other people had been here. I was hoping that word could get around to a few more and that maybe it would work out a little better for us. But I'm happiest to the ones that we have here. If we talk to you, then you can circulate this. And this trip costs a lot of money. How many of you know it costs a lot of money just for Brother Jerry and myself, the wives and whoever? I guess it must have cost at least $65,000-$70,000, I think, at least, and maybe more. I think it's done cost Jerry maybe over $30,000, has it, Jerry? It's done cost him probably well over $30,000, and it's probably done cost me over $40,000 or more. I don't know just how much, but I know it's cost about $70,000 or more. I don't know how much more. It could be $80,000 or more. But it's cost a lot of money. But if we'd have reached one soul, it would have been worth it all. The Bible teaches the angels in heaven rejoice over one soul coming to repentance. Now, I know you say, well, you can't do that. Now, I agree with you. I can't do it. I don't think Jerry can do it anyway. But we did it by faith. God did it. God did it anyway. God did it. He worked it all out. And that's what it's all about. If you don't have faith, then you don't need to go overseas to those people anyway, because that's what it's all about. We're going over there to teach them faith in God. It would have been no need of Elijah going to the little widow had Elijah not had faith in God, because the little widow had to have something done for her. And had not God moved on Elijah, she would have starved to death. But when Elijah taught her faith, that's all it took. And God never did let the crucible oil fail or the meal give out in the barrel. So the Lord blessed her. Speaking of famines, while we were over in that country, the Nile River failed so bad until the papers carried it, and they were so alarmed, even the Delta failed in water. And the little article that published was that this is as to the return of the days of Joseph and the time of Joseph's drought, they carried it. And said that it was so bad that people there would just die. They'd have died like flies, because if it had dropped a little bit more, their power system would have failed altogether. So many thousands of people in Egypt. But the Lord was merciful, and he turned on the water. And he also understands he's given you some water, whereas they say the drought is so bad, it has been so bad that even with the water, it'll take a while to ever get the water tables back up. But the Lord really turned it on for the people of Egypt. And as to our part in it, I prayed and said, Lord, if it be your will, you know, when you hear about things like that, it really moves you. If it be your will for water, then give the people some water, because there was some in desperation in India. They had run into the same thing. But while we were in India, it started to rain. And while we were in Africa, I believe it was, it started to rain, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. I asked them, I said, does it do this over here like this all the time? They said, no. But it poured. I mean, day after day it poured. So God was really good to them. All right, enough for that. I want to ask a question. First of all, are you really glad that God brought us back saved? Are you really glad? I really believe that you are. I really believe from my heart that you are, and I'm glad too. I'm glad too. I trust that the times that we spoke to you out of Egypt and out of the Philippines and wherever we was when we spoke to you, I trust that it come in clear enough for you to hear. Tired a lot of times, sometimes 5 o'clock in the morning or night, whenever. It was late and it's tired, but anyway, I hope it come through clear. Now, if you're glad that we're back, if you're thankful for what we did in your behalf, the Bible said, whatever you bid God speed, then you are partakers of it. I trust that through your prayers and your financial efforts, that you bid it God speed. Whereas I have reason to believe that you did, because you sent a couple of $1,000s over to us, which, as Paul said, was an offering well pleasing. I didn't desire it of you, but I thank God for it. It helped me to enlarge the borders of my garment to the extent I could stretch out to the poor a little more and share with the poor a little more. There's a lot of people that's poor. As we travel, we run across them in the different parts of the world, and we was able to share them more. And it made us to be a little more extravagant when bail boys and different ones would help. We could be a little more extravagant and give a little extra, because they were very poor people, some of them, and just working for a living and just working people. And the Lord just helped us all the way around. All right. Don't get tired when we're roaming. Now, I'm not going to hold you that long. We didn't get started at 3 this evening, and we'll probably get through before 11. But just kind of bear with me a little bit and listen, because, like I say, what it's all about is to win a soul. And I trust that you've been trying to do that here on the home front. I trust that you have. We have done what little we could. Not what we would like to have done. Not at all. But we have tried to do something. And we're planning to try to do more. We've crossed the ocean about 4 different times. And it's about 9 to 12 hours going over and back and over. And sometimes it was rough. Every time it's rough. But the Lord helped us. Outside of the many, many times of crossing a part of the ocean, or going from one island to another, or from one country to another, this is aside from that. And we still have to cross the ocean probably another maybe 2 to 4, 6 times yet, if we go on with what we've got in mind. I don't really know how many more times we'll have to cross it. But we still have to go into Australia, New Zealand, and into Russia, and supposed to go into Honolulu. There in Honolulu, we met Brother Mike. That is, he's out of Honolulu. We met him in the Philippines. He's a very wealthy man. Numbers of stores, little stores there in the islands. Supposed to go there. There's two or three places that's set up for us to minister there. And we still got a lot of traveling to do. The thing is, just traveling and going, that isn't going to be sufficient. It's going to take all of us to win souls. When Jesus commissioned them to go into all the world to preach the gospel to every creature, that wasn't just as to preachers. Though the commission is to the preacher, yet he also spoke of helps in governments that has to do with the ministry. And you've been a lot of help to me. I see numbers of things you've done on the home front since I've been gone, even to my home. There's some things that's been done. The living room ceiling is fixed, a number of things for which I'm grateful. I don't know how much zeal you had. I trust that you've not only had a zeal for God, but that with a knowledge of the Lord. Having a zeal is not sufficient as to just zeal alone. But I trust that you have done that with a knowledge, with a desire and ambition for Christ, and that at the same time, the Bible said, keeping yourselves unspotted from the world. I trust that you haven't been watching non-virtuous things on TV on the side. Haven't been reading nothing in the newspapers or books or having conversations of foolishness. Anything that's unlike Christ, I trust that you haven't been doing those things. Yeah. If you do those things, then that means your heart's not right with God and you don't have any part in this matter of the reward of God. But I trust you haven't been doing that. They've got a film that I might have misunderstood. I told some of them over the evening, I might have misunderstood. I was of the opinion that the Brotherhood had a film because I thought that Brother Jerry had went for that purpose, but I could be wrong. He had to buy the films, I think, and he did the feminine. And those could be personal films because I mentioned something over the evening that sounded like that. I could be wrong about it because I think Brother Jerry was planning to use those films. But anyway, it's just a misunderstanding on my part if that's the way it is. But I had considered maybe I really wanted to get together with you a little early and on the outside have something to where we could show a film out there. There were some things that I wanted to show to the people out there. But and I could show this particular film here in the church because as far as I know, it's all clear and straight and people diligently seeking after God. Whereas some of the films that they make and some of the films the missionaries make, they're very ungodly, and you can't show them in the sanctuary. But in that we didn't get to do that, I wasn't able to rent a big screen or set something out there to rig it up because I was tired and I had a lot of company, a lot of traffic. So in that I didn't get to do that, I chose to come here and thought perhaps Michael might secure of that particular film that was made there while we were ministering and to show it over as a TV operation over the video and maybe you could see it or numbers of people could go to wherever there's TV sets to see it. Now, let me say this to you. To evangelize the world, it means we're going to have to do something. For a number of years, I've worked toward this end. I have indoctrinated you. I've preached to you. I've carried you on the wing. We have sought you out a lot of times when you stumble or sent somebody, and we're still praying night and day for you. And I told you that someday it would come to this, and to be honestly frank with you, we're running real late. Real late. And that we did not go through with what we needed to go through with as concerning the ships and the planes. And some of us have been very short-sighted and have not had an extensive view as to all the world with the gospel to every creature. And of course, when I couldn't go the way that I desired to go, I told you that having waited long, the Lord had spoke to me like a father scolding a child for me to go. I saw myself standing in front of the mirror, and I was finding all kind of faults and reasons as I pondered of why I could not go. And I heard a voice very clearly say, "Go. I want you to go." And he wouldn't accept any excuses at all. And so I went. And like my brother Junior, he had had a vision where this was the White House and that we had to go into all the world. There was multitudes of people waiting on us. And I couldn't get some of the brethren to line up right so where we could go. And I finally had to just go on without them, which I had to do. Usually if I take a trip, I usually take brethren with me. So, running late, we're still coming to this place to where we've got this to do anyway. You know, if you're late getting food for the family, you can't just come in at the end of the week and say, "Well, I've waited till the end of the week, and until the end of the week, I still don't have any food." You know, and we're just going to have to do without. You don't do it like that. If you wait until the end of the week, then you have to really get down to business and get some food and get it quick somehow or another to feed the babies and to feed the wife and something to pay the bills with. So we waited down near the end of the week, and we're just going to have to get down to business and double up, because going down to the end of the week, just because the days have passed as to the days of our labor wherein we could have labored very carefully, we can't stop. We still must do the job. It still must be done. If we don't have sufficient as to needs or people, we still have to do it. We have to take Gideon's few and go on and do it anyway. So that's what we're going to do. We must do it. As soon as we complete our work overseas is to Russia. Then we're planning to immediately go into the islands, because we've got the radio program covers the islands, covered down in Central South America. And we've had tremendous response, and we have to go there. So we'll be going into the islands. This is one of the major things that I wanted the ships for. Been ideal, and also one of the major things that I wanted the plane for. So I noticed the jet that we flew home on from LA, it did not have the room and circumference that our plane has. And looking at the cockpit, it did look not to me didn't look as nice as ours, but still a powerful plane flying and making money. So, coming down to this place, I have to call on you. You don't have to respond, but I still have to call on you. Jesus chose 12. He had to call on them. He chose 120. And, of course, the 120 left him, and one of the 12 left. But the others, Jesus said, "Will you also go away?" And they said, "Well, to whom shall we go? Because you alone have eternal life." So they didn't go, and they become great men as prince to them that are kings of the earth. And Jesus being the prince over all of the kings and lords of the earth reigns with them throughout eternity. So I have to call on you. When you call on people, you call on Judas's. Because Judas went right along with the crowd, and as long as there's a day of grace, there will be Judases. And they will seek to hurt me. They will do things out of my presence to injure my name, to injure my cause, to injure my family, my natural and spiritual family. They'll do things to hinder me, because Satan is going to do that. Paul said, "I would have come unto you, but Satan hindered me." And he's going to do things to hinder us from getting to the people over in the islands and the different parts of the world, because he's done it. Again and again, he's done it. You remember how that he caused Daniel to get lost off while we were down in South America. I'd had a vision where some people had gotten him, and by faith in God, a great miracle, God spared him and let me find him among the crowd and the multitude. Satan hindered. Had my wife all tore to pieces and crying. He's going to hinder you. He's going to hinder you on the home front or wherever you go. He's going to hinder me. And when you want to give something to God, he's going to hinder you. He's going to talk you out of it. And he's going to show you your need in the natural. He's going to do it. And one day you might be in harmony with giving and your wife won't. The next time your wife might be in harmony with giving and you won't. And he's going to hinder. And you'll always get more and more and more and more in the world. And less and less and less in God. Because the more time you give to the world, then the less time you have for God. And they said, we've left all, everything to follow you. Said, no man has left wife, houses, land, home for my sake. But what in this world? They will receive 100-fold. And then in the world to come, everlasting life. That is, I'll give you the fullness of my blessing as to all three. Natural, physical, spiritual. In this world, I'll give you the ultimate of my blessing. And then in the world to come, I'll give you eternal life. So it's up to you, you know, as to what you think, as to what you do. Brother Pike is not speaking in respect of want, but I'm offering opportunity. This is a great opportunity. This is the time of opportunity. And it's the pastor's duty to perform to this extent or to present the cause to you. Because you won't have this opportunity always. I look at Sister Navi, she still has an opportunity to do something for God. I think of Brother Al, he doesn't have the opportunity anymore. What he has done is to he and my brother, it's already done. They've done whatever they're going to do. They'll never, from that time, ever have opportunity again. Some of you here will never have opportunity again when you press your death pillow. Now you might say, well, Brother Pike, I don't feel like that's going to happen. Well, on this trip, I had a number of visions, and it showed a death here on the home front. Could be me. Could be you. Sometimes it's some that's young, some middle-aged, some that's older. Could be any of us. But the thing is, right at the present moment, there's still life in you, and there's still breath in your nostrils. As long as there's life, there's hope. So, we need to do something. I had a night vision of two families, and both of them had wrecks. Couldn't tell too much the outcome, but it seems like God undertook. I trust that He will. So, every day is a day of danger. We're flying around the world, and of course, you think about the danger, and there is a lot of danger. But at the same time, folks on the home front, there's a lot of danger. Every day of your life invites danger. You are subjected to danger every day. There's all kind of physical problems. There's all kind of just general things. The speaking domestic problems, you have all kind. Everything is a threat to life, from the weather to human physics. Everything, there's a threat to life. So while you can, let's do something. We sing that song, I think I'll testify just while I have a chance. Because I may not have a chance anymore. I think I'll work for God. Just while I have a chance. Because I may not have a chance anymore. I remember when they removed my brother's legs, feet. how that he sat in a chair looking at the brethren and said, "Brethren, do something. Please do something. Don't let it happen to you as it's happened to me." Well, anyway, we could comment some more on that, but it's going to take a lot of time, and I've already kept you longer than I intended to. All right, number one, I'm going to need Chuck. I need Chuck in numbers of ways, Chuck. Can you help me? Okay, he says that he can. One of the ways is to computerize what we're doing, is to legislate the thing in a real diplomatic way and a governmental way to where I can have it precise. The people that work with us in the different parts of the world, we have to have it like this. That's why we have the divisions. Like this letter, it's addressed to International Affairs Division, whatever it is. That's the way that they addressed it when they wrote it out there in the executive office. And we put, some of you are so short-sighted that you don't understand why we have these numbers of different kinds of things. But you can't work Africa in with Philippines and Philippines in with China and China in with something else unless you're just going to have a conglomeration of a mess. You've got to have some means of differentiation, and you've got to be able to differentiate and keep things in an explicit manner to know how to get mail or how to carry on these things. There's numbers of people that we've obligated ourselves to as to certain things in reaching them with the gospel. Numbers of people in different countries want to put up bookstores. They're willing to pay rent on stores to open bookstores just to sell our literature and put our literature in there and get it to the people. And they want offices and to be affiliated with Little Bethlehem. And there are fabulous cities. We've been into fabulous cities, one right after another, over on that side of the ocean. And the people that they operate just like here in America, they are executives and fine, cultured people with high education and office and money. And they want to be a part of this. And then there is the underprivileged that are hungry, that have nothing. They are destitute of daily needs, and they don't have anything. And they're dependent upon you and I as to doing something. So, number one, I need Chuck. I need Brother Taylor to help me. And then, of course, I need you to help me. I need my family. I need my natural family to help me in these exploits for God. The Bible speaks in Daniel in the last days, they that really know their God shall do great exploits. And I need people to help me. When they came over with the Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria, when they came over, which reminds me, one of the people's name is named Santa Maria that's working with us in India. But when they came over with these, they came to discover a new world and a new way of life and to start a new operation. And they call America the New World. And this is what it represented as to our spiritual endeavors, as to going into all the world with the gospel to claim it for Christ. So then I need my family to help me. Number one, now that my family is lining up together, I trust that they'll come right on in and be able to go over into the foreign countries with me to sing at these crusades and to minister at these crusades to help me in the work of the Lord. If they do that, then we'll all share together in the reward. There's coming a day when you're going to stand before Jesus. It looks like his coming is close at hand. So if they help me, then we'll all share together. We'll have our strength and health and happiness and the wealth of all ages to live eternally, youthful and happy forever and forever and forever. All of this is our guarantee if we'll do what we can in giving God our life now. If we fail to give God our life, then death is the one that becomes victorious over us. And then, of course, we lose. He that saveth his life in this world shall lose it as to that world to come. He that loseth his life in this world for my sake, Jesus said, he shall save it unto eternal life. So if you're willing to move out of your house, so to speak, and let Jesus take it over, or that is become one with him, then you can work together in that little house of clay and become mighty and great. As it was said of John, he shall be great in the sight of God. And if you're willing to invite him in, so I stand at the heart's door and knock. And the Songs of Solomon, it is given as the dewdrops or the drops of the night being in his locks, outside of the door, knocking, seeking to come in. Whereas you, if you're not in the light of God, it's a dark, dark night. If you do have the light on the inside of your little house outside, it's an intellectual dark night. The Bible speaks of you being the light of the world, and all around you is darkness. And the Lord has been shut out, even as he was with the Jews, and he's standing knocking on your heart's door, and the drops of the night are in his locks. He's there trying to get you to open the door to let him come in. And he said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you. So, I need your help. He needs your help. He needs an open door. God has given us an open door throughout the world. I need Brother Taylor. I need Brother Chuck. I need, I don't know whether Brother Bill's here or not. He's up there. I need Brother Bill. And I need your help, Bill. And I'm going to go on and on as we go along here. There's people that want to write. I told them, Bill, that they'd have to write you and contact you, and that you would supply the needs in giving them food. Around the different parts of the world, we told them this. I need a lot of help. Now, what if the first thing I ask, if I should say, everyone that has not been watching TV, I want you to stand up so I can pick out my help. I wonder if we'd have any of them that would be sitting when I ask you to stand. Or that hasn't been reading magazines or carrying on joking and laughing and foolishness, that the thoughts of foolishness is sin. That hasn't been fighting and feuding and that hasn't been causing problems as to gossip and backbiting. If I ask the ones to stand up that hasn't been doing this, I wonder if anybody would remain in your seats. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to trust that forgetting those things that are behind, that you'll press forward to the prize and the mark of the high calling in Jesus and be godly sorrowful because of your sins. Turn away from your sins and for God's sake, stay away from those things to swear in your heart to your own hurt and to change not unless God puts you into the flames of fire. Because it is absolutely a fact. The Bible said, few there be that find it because it is a narrow gate. And tells you to strive to enter in. Strive, for many shall try to go in and not be able. So, I'm going to trust that you'll do that or that you have done that. And if you don't want to do that, it's your business, no problem. Your business. I've got somebody else. We can use somebody else. It narrows it down a lot of times to Gideon's few, but we can use somebody else. The Bible teaches, he that nameth the name of the Lord, let him be clean and holy. If you're going to bear the vessels of the Lord. Even the singers, the Bible said. So I'm going to continue on now. First of all, I would like to see a number of my ladies stand first as to the ones that are planning to help me on the home front in every way possible to project the gospel, whether it's working in the offices as to the publications or just cleaning the rugs here, whatever, as numbers of them do, I'd like for you to stand up as to my lady folks, the girls and the women. All right. Would you remain standing for just a few minutes? All right, this is, Paul spoke of his women workers. This is my women workers in the Lord. And I trust that you're going to stand by your commitment and standing up with me, because you are needed in many, many places of our work or capacity of this operation. All right, you can sit down. Now, I want to ask the ladies another question. How many of the married women or the young girls that have dads, because this involves husband and daddy, how many of you would be willing for your husband to be away, say for maybe 1 month away from you? Just those that would be willing to do that, I'd like for you to stand up. Might come to that, who knows? Okay, my wife is lagging behind. All right, she's probably tired. Got an unbeliever, but. All right. You can sit down. I appreciate that. Now, tell you, maybe you better stand again. I don't think I ever saw my wife get up. But anyway, while you're standing now, let me ask the men a question. You men that are married to these women that are standing, or that have to do with these women or girls as to a home, how many of you would be willing to be away from that wife for a month, and that wife is willing to sacrifice as to the cause of Christ? Would you stand up? Well, got a number of them. This is good. This is very good. All right. Is Brother Jimmy upstairs? I don't see you, Jimmy. Finished? Oh, he's sitting. Okay. It looks like we're going to have problems. All right. May the Lord bless you. You can be seated. All right. Now, I want to ask another question, and we'll get a little more specific in just a little bit. You that are going to be on the home front here helping me, as you say that you are, I wonder how many of the men here are planning to help me on the home front, abroad, or wherever. I have work to do for God. If you would stand up, that let me know. Okay. That's good. You can be seated. Now, number one, if I happen to ask your husband, or they come and volunteer, I'll just base it on volunteers to start with. But if this comes about as to asking, or they volunteer to go overseas to any certain area to be gone at least a month, and I hope to be able to send them in pairs at least two at a time. The Bible teaches that if one falls, the other one can help him up. So if I should decide to do that, I would like to have the men one more time. Now, if I happen to ask you to go overseas in the foreign country for at least a month, Because it'd take that long, and that we have to make preparations here to get literature ready to be given out on that end. And then we may have to ship it to you when you're over there, because it's not too easy to get literature in as to an abundance if you're taking it by plane. So you would probably have to stay there maybe a month just to be able to get the literature over and give it time to come and then to be able to distribute it. Now, I'm talking about getting up maybe 8 or 8:30 in the morning and going out and spending all day long passing out literature, not getting discouraged because a few people won't take some trash, but just going on like them people wasn't even there, and not disputing with them. If we do this, then we're going to have a little school. We're going to have a little school and some training for a few days to help you to understand as not to violate some of their principles and whatever, to indoctrinate you with a few things that you're going to have to know before you go over there, because you can get into serious trouble. I mean, real quick. So, if I ask you to go over for a month, I'm getting a little more specific now, I want to ask those same men again, would you stand if you would be willing, single, married men, whatever, and we'll try to work with the single men just as much as we can, and hold off as to the married men as much as we can. Would you be willing to go over and stay 1 month over into the foreign countries, wherever it might be, South America, Central America, Japan, Korea, or India, wherever? If you would, then I want you to stand up. All right, this is good. This is wonderful. You really mean it from your heart. Now don't forget, you know, as a rule, when I tell you something, I'm never playing with you. And it might take me a little while to get around to what I'm going to do, but I always get around to it by the help of the Lord, because this is His plans and His way of life, and this is what I want to do. So this is thrilling. Could you tell Jimmy to stand a little further this way so I can see him better? Yeah, there he is. Okay. All right, Jimmy's willing. Now, you can sit down. The ladies that are willing for the husband to be gone, one more time, would you stand up? Would you do that? It seems like we're all getting a little slower and slower about getting up. We're still making it. All right. Yeah, my wife, she got up this time. Okay, you can be seated. All right. You'd think some of these wives would come up like a springboard to get rid of us. All right, so then, this is good. If you really mean that, and I believe you do mean it, I believe you're being serious with me, and if you really do mean that, this is good. This is wonderful. Now, let me ask you another question. Those that stood up, as well as the others that did not stand up, men and women alike, in that you should stay on the home front and not be called on to go over there, would you be willing to make a commitment? Remember, we've got the home front to keep up. We've got to keep the fans turning, the lights burning, the bills paid on the home front, money to get paper with, something to run the presses with, and whatever we have to have. We have to keep the home front going. But would you be willing, staying on the home front, the ones that diligently would like to do that, would you be willing to make a commitment as to whatever the commitment comes to stand behind the two men that go into an area? For instance, if we sent two men into India, and these two men went over, and I keep referring to men because it's real dangerous for the ladies to go in, and it really creates a problem for you to go anywhere, because you have to take your wife with you and expose her to the danger and the problem,
Or if you leave her back there by herself, she is exposed to danger and problem. And you know they're killing people. They just killed that president over there, and then they killed another president over there. And they're killing people all through these places where we went. They're killing them. In the Philippines, they're killing people right in the street. Oh, they shot one fellow, remember, over there? They shot him. They took him and patched him up. And they sent word to the medical profession, said, do a good job. We want to kill him the sooner and get rid of him when he gets back out. Do a better job of it. So it's dangerous. It's very dangerous. But in that people hazarded their life for the name of Jesus, both men and women during the dark age, I know that you're willing. And it might come to a man and his wife going over. It could very well come to that. We're just going to screen it out and kind of find out what we come up with. So now, those as to men and women that would be willing on the home front to, speaking of Pacifics, to specifically take a couple of men or a couple, as to man and wife, and stand behind them in raising the money to send them to pay their way over and back and to take care of them. And in that, through the brotherhood, we would set a guideline as to the expenditure. This is one reason I wanted to go, to find out just exactly what they would have to have and what they could get by with. And even in the highest places over in Japan, it wasn't bad at all. It would be bad, maybe the way you think about it, that when you pay here in America, it's no worse than it is here in America. Not as bad in some places. So I know for myself, I purposely went to find out. Now, would you, if you would be willing to do that, I want men and women, boys and girls, all together to stand to let me know just how many of you would be willing to do that. All right, that's real good. Looks like you've all got it in your heart. You can be seated. Now, we're just talking about it now. But as the world calls it, we get down to the nitty-gritty, that's when you have to start doing different. And of course, it's a different situation when you have to do it. You might have to budget a little or rearrange things a little bit on as to the meal barrel, and you really won't if you trust God. Like on this trip, I've took my trips again and again, and on this trip, I still never bothered to find out how much Betty had or how much she had left or whatever. I just said, give this man 10, this man 25, and Betty, give this man 50 as to the poverty, and we paid the bill over here and tipped this man over here, and Betty never questioned it. She went right on, and the Lord blessed, and never had any problems. We've always done that. Never go back and count my money. I know when some of you are on the field, you count your dollars, and that's all right. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. Trying to budget and systemize, there's nothing wrong with that. But I choose to do it this way by faith in God, to make sure that when my journey is completed, that I have not lent upon my own understanding as to whether I give out today or tomorrow, can't make it over there or whatever. I trust God that He's going to make the way and that it'll be there when I call for it. And even as the $2,000 was sent over to us by you, that was just one of the ways. I know people have said among us, you know, they said, well, Brother Pike, he's got the money, but we don't have anybody behind us. I think that is a foolish statement, because to the contrary, you're the ones that have the job and you have something behind you. And people a lot of times here working on job while you're going, when I don't have nothing or not anybody. So it's very foolish. You've got the cart before the horse. And that's a bad situation. Now, you might never seen it happen, but I've seen my horse and mule get tangled up. Had a little billy goat when I was a boy. My cousin did. I've seen him get so tangled up in the harness, his head would be back toward the wagon. And he was turned around in the traces and ready to go. A lot of folks get in that kind of condition. And people are stingy. I find as I go with people out on the field, they're stingy. They don't want to share with the poor. They want to drop in 50 cent or a dollar or something, you know. And if we get into a place where it's compound as to maybe we get $20 for one of our dollar, then they get bold and they'll give two pieces of money. And And I on the inside, I just pray sometimes and I think, Lord, when we go to eat, they're not conservative. When we go to drink, they don't have any problem. When we go to do what we want to buy or anything to bring back home, no problem. But when we go to give to the poor or tip or help somebody, it just looks like you're just pulling their eye tooth out. That they just can't hardly stand it. They're upset at you. They're angry. If you even insinuate anything, and they get so hostile towards you until it makes you feel so bad till, you know, you just go on and do it. Because I like to do it anyway. Like some woman, I believe, was Mike's wife. Mike's wife. I remember she said to me out there at this place where these people were so poor, Betty and I was giving out some money, and I kept saying, Betty, don't you have a little more? Can't you get a little more? And she looked and she said, you just love to do this, don't you? I said, I sure do. The Bible said that we should delight ourselves in the Lord, and when serving God becomes a delight to you, I love to do it. It thrills my soul. I love to give. You know, if it takes the last dollar I have and I don't have nothing left over to get anything to eat with, I've done that. And, of course, I have sometimes give out on the way, and the Lord would have to work a miracle to get me to where I was going. But I just love to do it. And the Bible said, he that sows bountifully, he'll reap bountifully, because God's going to flood his fields with all the good things. Somebody said, somebody on the home front, I got this report. They said to somebody else, said to this particular person being a sinner is going to do a certain thing. They said, you don't need to be doing that. You need to stop that. And they said, you need to stop watching those things on TV too. As a matter of fact, I think that what they call R-rated, whatever that is, I don't even know what it is. But anyway, R-rated. Some of you people might be more educated than that. So, Bethlehemites living on the campground. They said the men never seen no more about what they was doing that ended the whole thing. Well, anyway, we didn't mean to stray off on that. But people do get beside themselves and they do wrong things. And when you do wrong things staying here on the campground, then the wrath of God will come abundantly upon you. Let's get back to the major theme of the thought now. We're kind of strayed off on this tip giving and sharing with the poor and not being right in our heart, and that's what causes it. And the results of it is other things that happen on the home front. So you're going to stand behind the couple that goes out. Freely receive, freely give. Not just to your relatives, but to the others. Like somebody made a statement here on the home grounds. They said they had gotten them a place to themselves. And I had prayed that they would. They didn't know that, but I prayed that they would because of the errors I had seen in their life and their wrongdoings. But anyway, I've done that for a number of them that see the left or something like this has happened. They said now their children could do like my children, you know. And they could come to their house the way they wanted to, you know, just like they wanted to and whatever. And they can, and of course they can go to hell just like my children too, when my children do it. My children do it, they go to hell. Your children do it, they go to hell with them. So if you don't feel bad about them doing what my children do when my children sin, then don't feel bad about them going to hell when my children go to hell. Well, that's the way people think, and that's what they think about me. I'm trusting that your child will do right, and that my child will do right too, and that they all will go to heaven. But we need to think right. They call it in the world getting my head straightened out. Now, so you're going to stand by. I'm not going to designate anybody tonight. I'm not going to pick out anybody tonight as to a number of people. But I want to get everything in line. I'm supposed to be having men's meeting tonight, but I include the ladies so we could just have a general discussion tonight. And I trust you're not tiring with me to give me just a little bit longer. Some of you may be able to go help us in the Crusades. There has been occasions where numbers of you have done that. And I can truthfully say there has been cases where we've been out on the field where some of you have come to
Betty and wanted to share with Betty,
with me out on the field. You felt like maybe things was a little tight for us, and you came and shared with us. And may God bless you. I know He already has. And may He bless you abundantly. And then there's others that we go out on the field with that we're continually sharing with them, for which we're very glad. And they're continually allowing us to, because they're very glad. And they won't share with us at all. They feel they don't have enough for themselves. But I thank God for those that are willing to share. One thing I can say about Brother Jimmy Kirk, I've never been out on the field with him but very few times, but I've seen him take the last dollar and share and gladly share. That may not be in Jimmy's heart now, but I know that it was when we were together out on the field numbers of times. And I marveled. I really marveled, because it was such a great testimony. And the Lord always abundantly, abundantly met His needs. He's one of the great reasons that little Bethlehem is here. And other great men that are willing to sacrifice, and other great women that's willing to sacrifice, or great women. So then, I'm going to try to start lining you up. We'll be on the home front for a few days and give us a chance to get with you. And I'm going to try, both men and women alike, to try to start lining you up. You can't realize your negligence. On the home front, you've hardly used the recording facilities. You've hardly used the video facilities. You've hardly used the boats and the planes. You've hardly used anything that we've got or God has given us. You've hardly used it. And you've almost let much of it become obsolete, or we've had to get rid of it or pass it on to someone else because you didn't have a vision. And some of you are perishing, because the Bible said, without a vision, you'll perish. And some of you that have no vision here, you go off to other churches and go off to do other things with other people simply because you don't have any vision here. And you neglect everything here. And you talk about nothing being here when it's nothing but you. And occasionally, it will lead to leaving. You'll move away, or you'll move back into Egypt as to where you come from. And that if you go back to where you come from, you're going back to Egypt, because you're going back to your natural mind. And the Bible said, they that turn back into Egypt in the heart, then the Bible said, my soul shall have no pleasure in them that draw back. And when you turn back to those things, then you're going back into Egypt, because God said, get thee out of the land of thy kindred, Abraham, and I'll make a great nation out of you. And you're always without honor among your own kindred. As a matter of fact, they'll find fault with you, unless they really get born again and become a spiritual brother or sister. They won't do nothing but cause you problems, like Lot did Abraham down in Sodom and Gomorrah. So, looking back into Egypt, the Bible said, with many of them God was not well pleased, because though He brought them out of Egypt, yet they turned back into Egypt, and their heart and their minds never was with Moses to fight and go on into Canaan. They turned back into Egypt in their heart. That is to say, get thee out of the land of the flesh. Get thee out of the land of buying and selling and gain and comforts and convenience and all of these things for you and your family. And get your mind on God. As in the early church, when they sold all they had, laid it down at the apostles' feet. Didn't say anything that they had was theirs. But they put it all into a teamwork to where they could project the gospel. And the widows and the orphans was fed, and people had positions in the church that stood there in the great admiration of God's word. And God did great things for them. And when we do that, God will do great things for us. I'd love to preach to you about a month on some things as to why the church is powerless the way it is. But anyway, this is what it is all about, is winning souls. If you don't have a vision, you're going to perish. Some of you don't have a vision for God, so you've drifted back into making money, or a vision for the world, or some kind of being some kind of celebrity or something out in the world. You've drifted back into that when you come out of that. See, you've gone back into that mind of captivity, and the Bible said it's worse with you now than it was at the beginning. Having escaped the pollution and corruption of the world, now you're entangled again in the latter end. It's worse with you than at the first. You promise other people liberty while you yourself, you are the servant of corruption. For the Bible said, by whomsoever or whatsoever a man is overcome by, then is he the servant as to the subjection unto that very thing. All right. So we've got this far. We're not going to be able to get on with the things that I want to say here, because there's a number of things involved, especially in pinpointing and as to an explicit thing. But I've got, in general, I've got your mind and attention as to know that we've got a program coming up that involves you. And I want you to stand by your commitment now, or either come to Brother Pike and say, look, I made a mistake. I just can't do that. I can't do that. But stand by me, because I'm going to call on you pretty soon. Pretty soon. I've got a few little things I've got to clear away as to commitments to them people over there. And then I'm immediately going to call on you. I want Brother Ron and him to seriously consider Guatemala and South America, because we've got some things that have to be done there. The different ones that are affiliated with us in world outreach as to these different things, I want you to diligently consider it, because it's hard work, it's self-denial, and though we spend $40,000 going around the world or into all the world, folks, you can't imagine the weariness, the tiredness, the wear and tear on the body, and the complex, the mind, and as of the situations that we encounter, being up night and day, all of the problems that we run into. Sometimes the wives just sit in a little room and look at the four walls. I think Gracie might have commented on the five walls in one of them, because they had a little petition you pulled. But sometimes they sit there and sit there for hours, and it makes it bad. And like this morning, at 1:30 in the morning, Brother Jerry said, I haven't slept a wink, a lick, he called it. I haven't slept a bit. And it makes it rough. But nevertheless, if you don't have the idea, just going from here to one country, when I call on you, you'll get the idea. You stay 10 and 12 hours on a plane, you'll get the idea. Especially when you have to eat according to their menus. It's a bad situation. How many of you understand what we're trying to do? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Frontier evangelism. Something that's hard, something that's rough, but something that's greatly rewarding. All right, let's stand up together. There's so many other things I'd like to say to you tonight. I knew that I couldn't nearly get over to you what I want to do, but I felt if I could introduce the program, get enough things together to where you could comprehend what we're trying to do. And I felt like by doing this, we'd be able to further our project in detail, which is going to take a lot of detail. This is going to bring out a lot of specifics as to divisions, as to whatever division you're in. I trust that Chuck has continued with our computer system, pressed this issue to get this done, and I trust that he has been pressing the issue. Betty still needs her computer down at the office, because still a great deal of wilderness as to specifics when I want something done. I trust that Sister Linda, Brother Taylor, has made real use of theirs, and that it's taken out of the wilderness a lot of things. So we're looking forward to him sending the computer down. You know, you can be in a wilderness all of your life and never do anything for God. And you can have the feeling that you're part of an operation and be exiled and not be doing anything for God. Folks, the child is known by his doings, and until you sacrifice, until you make an effort, until you make a commitment, until you stand arm in arm, not breaking ranks as real soldiers of God, you really haven't done anything. If you're just coming to church or going on trips to vacation and buying to eat and drink, you know, that's just to be ready when the plane leaves. You have not done anything. Some people go with the tracks. They come back with the tracks. They take them over. And if you'll look, they bring them back. And I trust that they'll be courteous enough to at least turn these tracks in to Scotty. Because people was fussing even on this trip. Who got these tracks up? Why didn't we have this? Why didn't we have that? Of course, I was of the same thoughts. But then I said, well, Scotty was the one that got them together. That's Scotty's department. And we had to work with what we had. And Scotty tried to get as much together as he could as to what he had. And to some of the literature that we had, we didn't get to go like going into Indonesia. We didn't get to go there. When I know that God is wanting us to get into Indonesia. But turn your tracks into Scotty, and I'll turn mine in. Whenever you go out, there's been a number of men out on the field now. A number of people, a number of times, turn them in. Don't carry them. It is wrong and evil to carry them out and bring them back. If you have a chance to give them out, the Bible said if it's in your hand to do good and you withhold it, then the people will curse you. So in the day of judgment, they'll curse you for holding back. The songwriter said, you never mentioned him to me. So if you've never mentioned Jesus to anyone, then you need to mention him. And if you're ashamed to mention him, the Bible said, if you're ashamed to confess me before men, then I'll be ashamed to confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. I sure want him to acknowledge me on that day through his grace. So here we are. We've got a program going. Now, every man to his post of duty, every man to the battle. Don't leave it to anyone else, man or woman, boy or girl. Don't leave it to anyone else. You get to the battle. Don't leave your post of duty. Don't wait until tomorrow. Start as of right now. And if it's pray, if it's fast or whatever. And as far as I know, I'm going to be calling on some of you to fast. Now so far, if I called on you to fast, you stood with me. You'll be called on to give, to support. You'll be called on to fast. And this will probably be in an indirect way. God will prepare your hearts to it. Be as to the need, you'll see it. We'll get together. We'll determine the need. We'll determine as to who is involved. We'll explicitly put it down in our work orders and in our divisions and systems and computerize it and bring it before the men, before the board of directors, and let them make the decision as to how we're going to handle it and to let everybody fully know what is what. I had one of the worst times on this trip. We've had to change so much. Our flights set so many hours in different places until our schedule as to what they printed up for us was worth very little to us. And we just had to work it out and call and pray and ask God to help us. So maybe next time we can be more explicit in it and have a little better order. All right, let's sing a song together, can we? Let's sing this little chorus. I don't know that I can sing it. I never tried to sing it with anybody, but this is a little chorus that they sing in the Philippines. And in this crusade that we've got coming up, we've got one of the finest choirs in the world. They got three different choirs as to the ages of the people. And they are one of the finest, most professional. They have professional men training them. And they fast and pray all the time. There's about 20 in their choir. It was the same thing that I wanted here on the home front, but I couldn't get the people to live right. But these people fast and pray all the time. And unless they're very hypocritical and God has hid it from me, they seem to just love Betty and to me. They seem to just love us. And they just follow us around everywhere when we're there. But they're going to be singing for us. And it's so beautiful, so wonderful to hear them sing. Because when they're singing, naturally you can tell that there is a degree of performance as to the people, that they are aware of that. But at the same time, if you catch their spirit, you really catch their spirit, their minds and hearts is just crying to God. And occasionally you'll see one of them start shouting and praising God. Their minds, you can just tell, it's right on God. It's no make-believe about it. They're keeping their mind and eyes right on the Lord Jesus. Something's drawing their spirit and their heart right to Him, that they're performing and singing as unto the Lord. As the Bible said, do all things as unto the Lord. They're going to be singing for us in this crusade. Now, I may not have the tune to start with. I'll probably have to sing it a little bit to even get the melody to it. Another key. He was there all the time. He was there all the time, waiting patiently there in line. He was there all the time. Can you sing it with us? He was there all the time. He was there all the time, patiently bear in mind. He was there all the time. Can you sing one more time with me? David, you and Ricky, come up here and help me sing this. Y'all ought to be able to sing it. Joe, come up here. I wish I had my Danny here. He was supposed to be here. I don't know where he's at. They're going to sing it with me. I can't hardly sing, but they can. He was there all the time. Sing it with me now. He was there all the time. Sing with me. Patiently bear in line. He was there all the time. Can you sing it again with me? Can y'all come up a little closer? He was there. Sing that with me again. Lift your hands up and sing it with me again. Sing it with me, brethren.
He was there all the time. He was there all the time.
Sing it with me.
Hey. There with me, he was there
love Jesus. Sing it again.
He won.
Standing here, the one thing I prayed for, I prayed that God would make all of my sons a minister. I've asked God, Lord, please somehow make all of them preachers. Let all of them be preachers. And Lord, make all of my daughters workers and missionaries to where they can testify and tell about Jesus and perform for Christ Jesus. And I've asked Him to make all of my daughter-in-laws and all of my son-in-laws the same thing. I've asked Him to do that. And I've asked Him to do all of my children, my grandchildren, their children. I've asked Him to bless you and your children and help us to reach out around the world and be a light all around the world. I want my wife to come here and stand with me. And we're going to get back together, Rick, around here. Come on here, Betty. Stand right here with us. Put your arm around Mama here. Okay, now. Don't you feel good? I feel good. You know, I cry on the inside a lot. And the Bible said Jesus sighed within His spirit. And at the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible said, and He wept. He wept. A lot of times, before we do this, it means a lot. It means a lot to us. The Bible said, mark them that sigh. Go mark them. The angels of God go among you to mark them that sigh on the inside. The Bible said that Jesus, when He sighed, looked up to heaven, and then He performed His great deeds. All folks, I tell you, believing with the heart. A lot of people are going to be lost because they're not believing in their heart. Believe with the heart. Faith is of the heart. Believe with the heart. And to confess with the lips. And God will save you and your family and give you the desires of your heart. Make it right up on the high places of the earth. And He'll do whatever you ask. Whatever you say, don't doubt in your heart. Believe with your heart. Let it get down into your heart. And you'll have great, mighty things with God. Can you sing with us one more time? Let's sing it before prayer.
He was there.
Precious thing that heaven could afford in taking the blood out of the veins of His darling Son Jesus and giving you His own precious Holy Ghost, the precious darling Spirit of Jesus the Christ. Then we sing it as you invite Him into your heart. Don't doubt. He loves you. He wants you to be healed with all of His heart. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be blessed with all things pertaining to life.
He was there. All the time.
I want you to lift your hands with me, close your eyes, and we're all going to pray together. That's Danny, Joe, David, George, Jr., Betty. I'm going to pray myself. I'm going to ask them to pray. And let's everyone pray that comes the day of judgment, that not one of my sons and daughters will be lost. Comes the day of judgment, not one of your precious, darling, loved ones will be lost. Mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, your grandchildren, whatever it might be, their children. Let's pray, folks, and believe. Precious Heavenly Father, I'm asking in the wonderful name of your darling son, Jesus. I know that you gave him in my behalf and in the behalf of all humanity, knowing that he died to take away the sins of the world. I ask thee, O God, for the forgiveness of my people. Lord, forgive my people's sins. Forgive their loved ones' sins. Make them great and mighty in thee. They've tried to serve thee, Lord, and to do your will. Consider them now, Lord, as to their loved ones. Consider them. Oh, God, consider my sons and my daughters, oh, God. Father, for many years I've held them up day and night before thee, Lord, that my devour might not get them. You said that if I would honor thee, Lord, my life, my substance, that the enemy would not devour the substance of my ground. These are the substance of my ground. Oh, Lord, we claim them all in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. My sons, my daughters, my wife, my brother, my sister, her brother, her sister, Lord, these brothers and sisters, their loved ones, Lord, we claim them. Lord, their loved ones, wherever they might be, we claim their loved ones as a great unit all together. We claim the entire world, Lord, for you. Give us the heathen's pride, Lord. Help us to carry the gospel into all the world for witness. Help us. Oh God, looking at the multitude of the world as sheep without a shepherd. God, send our people forth as shepherds, as parents in the gospel. Lord, with tender love and care and with great compassion. Lord, as they reach out around the world, knowing that you reach so far, as the songwriter said, reach way down for us, for me. Lord, let us reach way out, even around the world, to every creature. We can do it, Father. We can do all things through you that strengthens us. I ask you to do this in the wonderful name of Jesus, through the precious Holy Ghost, the name of your precious Son, Jesus. And we'll give him the glory, Father. Hallelujah.
Let's sing this last chorus together, and then we're going to ask you to bow your head and dismiss you. The little chorus is called, "And We'll Give the Glory to Jesus." And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing of his love, we'll sing of his love, and we'll give all the glory to Jesus. To sing of his wonder.
Can you sing it with me?
So we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing of his love. We'll sing of his love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. To sing.
Can you sing it one more time with me?
Or we'll give all the glory to Jesus. Sing of this love.
King of His love. One more time, lift your hands up with me and let's sing it together. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing of His love. We'll sing of His love. Give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. I'm going to ask Brother Morris Allen, if he will, to come up and pray with us. And as Morris comes, remember the things that I've said. Morris's family from Marysville, Tennessee, has been with us quite a long time now. Very wonderful people. Very wonderful people. Thought about them a number of times while we were on this trip. May God bless Brother Morris and his family. And may God bless you and your families. Our Brother Morris comes.